Good morning, Your Honors.
Mr. Nubani.
May it please the Court. Zuhair Nubani on behalf of the petitioner, counsel. I am a colleague of Shavik Idrisi, who represented the defendant at the immigration court level and at the Board of Immigration Appeals level. And this matter comes before you on a petition for review in that matter, Your Honor. Mr. Nosals, Alexis Nosals, is a native of Ukraine, ethnically Ukraine, who resided in Latvia up until 2005 when he came to the United States. Your Honors, this appeal centers around whether there was evidence of past persecution and a well-founded fear of future persecution if he is forced to return to Latvia. And we contend that the immigration judge and the Board of Immigration's appeals erred in finding that there was no past persecution and that there was no founded fear of future persecution if he's returned to Latvia. Most of this centers around, Your Honor, at least three incidents that the petitioner suffered in Latvia between 2002 to 2004. Specifically, the first evidence of persecution, which was an attack on him at the university in Riga. The second was an arrest and beating by police in 2003, and the third was an attack on him in 2004 while he was on a train in Latvia by a group of neo-Nazis. Most of these actions that were taken against Mr. Nosals were by ultra-nationalist groups or neo-Nazi groups. And it is well known and founded law in this circuit that there's a there's at least five categories that a person can be persecuted under to be eligible to have suffered persecutions, which is race, nationality, membership in a social group or political group, and that is either done by the government or by groups that the government is unwilling or unable to control.
And well, that's the hard part of this case, is the lack of evidence of state-sponsored persecution, accepting that the mistreatment that he was subjected to by these neo-Nazi organizations occurred. It wasn't state-sponsored, certainly, and so he'd have to have evidence that the government of Latvia is unwilling or unable to protect him.
Well, if the record isn't convincing that it was state-sponsored, it was at least either complicit, that the government was either complicit or is complicit or is unwilling or unable to do anything to stop these groups. Although the government in their brief and in their reply and what I believe Judge Vinokur had mentioned is that there's no evidence here that the government was involved or did anything or turned a blind eye. I think in our brief and in what the record shows, there it is replete with evidence of ultra-nationalism in Latvia by the government speaking out against minorities. True, there are minorities in Latvia that are offered citizenship, but that doesn't mean that there is no discrimination against them or persecution against them. There have been a number of statements made by government officials against non-Latvians, specifically Russians and Ukrainians. And I think that if a demonstration by neo-Nazis was allowed and a counter-demonstration by people who are against such type of extremist groups is not, I believe that the government is implicit, or it's not, or at least it's not protecting its non-Latvian citizens. The incident on the train, for example, was not followed up by the police. The government and the judge and the Board of Immigration Appeals makes light of it. Well, he didn't have the names or know who these people are, but you would think that they would at least open up a file, that they would pursue something. Most people, when they're attacked by people they don't know, are not going to have names or complete descriptions. So I do feel that the government is implicit in this. The government is not following up on protecting its non-Latvian citizens.
Did the government, the police, only arrest the people who were opposed to the neo-Nazis as opposed to the others who were in, I assume they were fighting with each other? Was that the only, were they selective, or do you know, only arresting the people that were opposing the demonstration?
I believe from the record they only arrested people who were opposing the demonstration. They did not arrest any
of... The record shows that, huh?
Yes. The record does show that there was no neo-Nazi who was arrested as far as that specific demonstration that occurred in 2003. Also, the record does show that the 2002 incident and the 2004 incident also, the government did not open up any type of file or pursue anything because of these attacks against Mr. Nosals. And I think that this shows that the government is either unwilling, unable to, or somehow complicit in not protecting its non-Latvian citizens. And I believe this circuit has in Garcia versus Gonzalez conceded that if the government is unwilling or unable to protect its citizens, then that's just the same as if the government itself is persecuting.
Yeah, I think, though, in that practice, whatever it was, that is, for whatever reason, and maybe that was discriminatory at the start, that the neo-Nazis had a demonstration permit or some such thing, right?
Yes, that's
and
right.
And that those opposing obviously did not. I don't know what the law is or whatever, but if you disrupt something that has the government's permit, then maybe that you're the only offender. I don't know. But I'm just, you know, showing that it was the government that was acquiescing or turning a blind eye or something.
Well, that's, Your Honor, that's my point about the acquiescence of the government in this situation. And I don't think Latvia, although they bring up that it's in the European Union, etc., I don't think Latvia is such a goody-goody two-shoes here that the government makes it out to be that everything is all well and fine. I don't believe that everything is all well and fine in there. There is documented evidence of persecution against non-Latvians, and I believe that what's happened to Mr. Nosals does reach to the level of past persecution, having a broken arm and a fractured foot. For God's sakes, what more can you find as actual harm? The government makes very light of it, and there's been no finding of incredibility here. He was found credible, so we're going to take that is true, that these things did happen to him, and that these actions by these neo-Nazi groups, ultra-nationalist groups, or whatever, does rise to the level of past persecution. And if he is forced to return, that there would be future prosecution. Look, when he tried to get hospital records, police records, they refused to give them. People came to his family and actually threatened them, and there was messages scrawled on their doors against they're Ukrainians, but at this point I guess they said all Russians get out. And we do see evidence that because he was speaking Russian with a friend of his on the train, it's the reason for the attack. I guess maybe physically it couldn't be determined by looks, but by language it's obvious that there is a discrimination and a persecution that's been occurring. Okay. Your Honors, I'll reserve just 2 minutes for rebuttal if need be. If you have any further questions, I would answer them. Otherwise, I would give the...
That's fine. You can reserve rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Smith.
Good morning. Lyle Smith on behalf of Attorney General Eric Holder. We would ask the court here to affirm the board's decision dismissing Petitioner Nosals' appeal. The board and the immigration judge reasonably concluded here that Petitioner Nosals failed to meet his burden of proving his eligibility for asylum and withholding of removal, and the agency's decision here is consistent with this court's precedent. the evidence here, the standard review in this case is deferential, and the evidence here does not compel a finding that the petitioner met his burden of proof. With regard to past persecution, the board's finding here is reasonable. The Nasals, although he alleged that he was confronted by unidentified students at the university, as well as by members of some criminal gang, the totality of the evidence here does not show, much less compel, a finding that his encounters were so severe or overwhelming as to compel a finding that he was persecuted. This court has repeatedly held that persecution is more than just harassment, intimidation, or unpleasant, or even dangerous conditions. It's an extreme form. It's an extreme concept, and the court has also held that it is a high standard that is difficult to meet without powerful and moving evidence.
Well, he apparently did sustain some broken bones in connection with one of these attacks.
Yes, and I want to stress that, you know, the government is not trying to in any way make light, or certainly not trying to diminish in any way, or is certainly not unsympathetic to Nasal's contentions here, assuming that they did in fact occur. They are certainly unfortunate.
Well, there was no affirmative credibility finding one way or the other, as I understand, so we're accepting that IJ accepted his testimony as credible.
That is correct.
So
we are not
assume that these events happened as he described them,
right.
And the last one of them involves getting beaten up and thrown from a moving train.
Yes, that's correct. We are assuming here that he's credible, and what my argument is that the government is certainly not unsympathetic or is not making light. It's not trying to diminish these incidents. What our position is that the standard review is very deferential, and despite his contentions here, these facts are not so overwhelming that the court must be compelled to conclude that he was persecuted. Now, it's important, this standard review is important, because the question before the court is not whether the immigration judge could conclude that this amount of persecution, perhaps yes, perhaps not. Is this court required to conclude that he was persecuted? It's important to point out here that this court has found that allegations of similar or even more egregious mistreatment in other asylum cases do not necessarily rise to the level of persecution. For example, in Dondon versus Ashcroft, the applicant there was detained, beaten, interrogated. He claimed he had a swollen face. He had no food, and he was detained for 3 days. And there's no question that that case is at least as egregious, if not more severe, than this case. And the court found that was not compelling enough to necessarily conclude that that's persecution. In Taraf versus Gonzalez, another asylum case, the applicant there claimed that he was detained by guerrillas. He was shot twice. He sustained serious injuries. He required medical attention. Again, that's even more severe. But this court found that did not necessarily require a finding of past persecution. In Mima versus Gonzalez in Albania, I believe that was an Albanian case, the applicant was abducted at gunpoint, detained, and beaten. And again, the court found that did not necessarily require a finding past persecution. In Fedel Siva versus Gonzalez, another Latvian case like this one, in a similar case, the applicant in that case was arrested, claimed that she was arrested and detained by the police for several hours. She claimed that she was kicked by three men because of her Russian ethnicity. She claimed that she was threatened and assaulted by a Latvian native, that she had a nervous breakdown and a broken wrist. And the court found that did not compel a finding that she was persecuted. And there are many other cases in this circuit where the court has applied the standard that has found that persecution is an extreme concept, and while the court and the government, in the court in those cases, was not unsympathetic to the allegations made by the respective applicants, the court found that it did not necessarily require, under this deferential standard review, a finding of past persecution. And with regard to the police arrest, as we argued in our brief, he has not shown that the arrest by the police was motivated by a protected ground, either by his Ukrainian ethnicity or by any other statutorily enumerated ground. He admitted that the police were attempting to disperse opposing groups of demonstrators, and it may have become violent, and that he was also detained because the group that he was demonstrating with had not obtained any type of authorization or permit to be there. And he admitted that he was not arrested simply because the police were trying to silence them. And that's important because that doesn't show that there's a nexus as far as the arrest is concerned. With regard to the state action, that's the other issue in this case. There's no question here that the alleged persecutors, students and members of some criminal gang, are private non-government actors. As this court is aware, persecution does not encompass acts by private individuals, and there's no evidence that the Latvian government ever condone or participate in these attacks. With regard to the claim of lack of police investigation or lack of police action in response to his complaint, the evidence here does not compel a finding that the police were unable or unwilling to protect him. He admitted, with regard to the 2002 incident, the university incident, he admitted that the police, during his testimony, stated that they listened to him but needed more evidence or more proof. When asked if the police were unable to pursue the matter because he did not have enough information to identify his attackers, he admitted that this may have been the reason they could not pursue an investigation. With regard to the following incident in 2004, he admitted that he could not give the police the names of the people he encountered, and that other than describing the gang or the club sign, Club 415, he was not able to provide any other information to the police to use for a criminal case. He admitted that he could not identify the attackers. And furthermore, I don't know if this came up during the testimony, but in his asylum application, he stated that he filed a complaint. He and his friend filed a complaint on March 19, 2004. This is after the train incident. And that he said the city prosecutor gave him an audience, which I interpret meaning some form of a hearing or at least some form of interview, that the government formally heard his claim. So based on that, one cannot be compelled to conclude that the government was somehow complicit or was unable or turned a blind eye. The government, at least according to his asylum application, took some step to at least review his claim. So our position is that there's not compelling evidence that the government was in any way complicit in his alleged persecution. With regard, I'd like to just address another issue, which is he arguing that the government was somehow complicit, well, related to this issue, that the government was complicit because the government had allowed the neo-Nazi demonstration but had not allowed the other demonstration. First, it's not clear who else was arrested. He testified that other people were arrested, but he did not elaborate on that. He said he was arrested and other people were arrested, but we do not know who else was arrested. We just know that, according to his testimony, some other people were arrested. So it's a bit speculative to conclude that only the members of his group were arrested. Furthermore, he testified that he was arrested because they had not obtained a permit or received some sort of authorization to be there. That's not necessarily showing a nexus to a protected ground. And third, to make another point on that, is that he testified that there was another demonstration the following year in 2004, and he did testify that he participated in that second demonstration the following year and that nothing happened to him. So that undermines his claim that the government was somehow complicit and only allowed a neo-Nazi demonstration. And finally, with regard to the third issue, well-founded fear, the board here reasonably found that he did not demonstrate a reasonable possibility of future persecution. There's no evidence that he had any further encounters with his alleged persecutors, either the students or the criminal gang. Importantly, his parents and a younger brother have remained in Latvia without harm. He testified that his father runs a construction business, his brother is studying in school and learning Latvian. It's important to note that the parents here are the ones who are native Ukrainians. Mr. Nasals was actually born in Latvia and speaks Latvian. His parents have remained there unharmed, although he did claim, I know this has come up, he claimed that the parents received some sort of a threatening note This shows that they may have suffered harassment, but that's not persecution, and moreover, they have continued to remain in that country. So, and this court has, I believe in Guardia versus McCasey and other cases, the court has held that if a similarly situated family remains in the country unharmed, the evidence does not compel a finding that there's a well-founded fear of future persecution. And finally, the evidence here, there's no persuasive evidence here to show that minority groups are suffering persecution in Latvia. So we would ask respectfully that the court affirm the board's decision.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Nubani, how much time? You have 1 minute.
Very quickly, Your Honors, I beg to differ on the severity of the injuries that
Mr. Nosales suffered, I believe they were severe enough to rise to the level of actual persecution. As far as the cases that he mentioned, Dandan and Tariff, I think the court takes a case-by-case basis on each individual and their specific persecution or their specific case, what happened. And I believe the Latvian case that he also mentioned, too, was a one incident, that all of this happened in a one incident period, whereas this was over time and a number of incidents. As far as the issue of the government contends, well, the prosecutor listened to him, all we have in the record is that he did speak with a prosecutor. There was nothing further that was said about any follow-up of anything. So the prosecutor listened does not mean that the government has not been complicit or at least has condoned some of these actions. And the last thing that I do want to mention is a couple, just very quickly, the 2004 demonstration. How many times does he have to be attacked? So in one demonstration he wasn't attacked. That doesn't mean that that the government is not complicit in these actions. We do ask that a petition for review be granted and that the agency's decision be reversed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mbani. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.